Heavenly Father, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 15. Beginning at verse 1 in the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1147. John chapter 15 and verse 1. This is a part of perhaps the most beautiful chapters in all of Holy Scripture. It's Jesus' final discourse before he is going through his passion, death, and resurrection. And so these are the final words he's leaving with his disciples. And as we would expect, they're pretty important words that somebody would give as their final words and instructions to them before his death and resurrection. And so again, he's speaking to the disciples, John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. And this is the word of the Lord. Every week, as we've been going through this pandemic, I've been certainly monitoring the things that are being reported on the news, things that people are saying, and trying to pray by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that I would be given topics, subjects that are relevant to these times. A lot of fear, a lot of paralysis that people are experiencing because of the dangers of this a deadly virus. I think it's safe to say for all of us here, we've never seen anything like this in our lifetime. Never seen anything like this. And so the topic today, I think, because during this pandemic, I suppose it's pretty safe to assume that one thing that more people are doing more of is praying. Praying. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. We pray for people who have lost loved ones. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are out of work. We pray against this deadly virus. We pray against the fear of the virus. We pray for a cure and for a vaccine. We pray for wisdom for our national, state, and local leaders as they make decisions about opening up our economy once again. We pray for mercy, for healing, and for protection. We pray, and we pray, and we pray. It is appropriate, therefore, to consider the effectiveness of our prayers. We pray a lot, but are our prayers as effective as they could be? Are they as powerful as they could be? Are there some ways to pray that are better than others? And the biblical answer is yes. The biblical answer is yes. Now, again, I want to be clear, as I did in our introduction, that this is a two-handed sermon. On the one hand, we need to acknowledge the sovereignty of God, that the answer to our prayer depends on God, totally on God, completely on God. However feeble our prayers are, we cry out to the Lord in whatever way we can, and then we trust that God in his sovereignty, in his knowledge, in his love, will answer our prayers as is best for us. So it's all about God. It's all up to God and the sovereignty of God. On the other hand, the Bible does teach us that there are ways to pray, and so it would seem that how we pray does matter. How we pray does matter. So we always have to look at what the scriptures reveal about both sides, complete sovereignty of God, but also conditionality of our prayers being answered. And we see that in our readings today. In our first, our gospel reading from John 15, Jesus said, if, little two-letter word, if, but what a powerful word that is. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. How often we've heard and people say, whatever I ask in the name of Jesus, he said he'll do it for us. So if I say, Lord, I want to win the lottery, and I ask in the name of Jesus, well, I don't win the lottery. So is scripture wrong? Well, of course, we need to understand what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. And so today we're looking at all the scripture passages that talk about prayer. And this is one that has a very specific condition upon it. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, there's two conditions here. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Also, we heard another whole sermon here, but you did not choose me, Jesus said, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit that will abide, so that, see that condition, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So again, I chose you, appointed you to go and bear fruit, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So our prayers are more effective if we abide in Jesus, if his words abide in us, and if we are bearing much fruit. We also saw in our reading from Isaiah 58 a conditional answer to prayer. If we feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, and clothe the naked, God says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry and he will say, here I am. So to help those in need, and God says, then call to me and I will answer. In Psalm 91, we heard this, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. And so we see these conditions. Unfortunately, most of us are just not this holy. Talk about abiding in Jesus, bearing fruit that abides, holding fast to God in love, knowing God's name, knowing, experiencing that personal, intimate experience of the presence and the power of God in our lives. That's a pretty amazing state of holiness. And I hope and pray that we would know people, certainly studying the lives of saints, that there have been people who've had that complete devotion to God, that complete sense of oneness with God, the great saints of the church over the centuries. But I would dare say for most of us, It's just a level that seems very strange to us. Now, not, I want to say yes, to the extent that we pursue this, certainly our prayers will be more effective. But what about us believers who bear fruit 30-fold instead of 100-fold? Remember the parable of sowing the seed. Jesus said some seed fell on ground and soil and so forth. That fell on the good soil. Some bear fruit 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. There are the great saints who have, you know, borne fruit 100-fold. But I think most of us are probably around that 30, at least hopefully, at least in the 30 range. 30-fold of holding a fruit, bearing a fruit. What about us? What about us? Well, in Luke chapter 11, the disciples of Jesus asked him to teach them how to pray as the disciples of John were taught by John. So this was something that was very common in the rabbinic culture. And so the disciples ask him, which again shows us that to say, Jesus, teach us to pray, shows that there are ways we can learn to pray better. Kind of like sports or learning a new musical instrument. The more we practice, the better we will get at it. And so the Lord did respond to them. He didn't say to them, it doesn't matter, you just pray and leave it to the Father. No, he said, no, here is a model that I will give you. And so Jesus gave them, gave us what is known as the Lord's Prayer. George Buttrick wrote a wonderful book on prayer. And he made, again, based on the scriptures, but he made some just interesting observations. Again, I think just summarize things that we've just heard in our readings. He wrote this, prayer is friendship with God. Isn't that beautiful? Prayer is friendship with God. I think that helps us to understand maybe more of what the scriptures are talking about, abiding in Christ, Christ abiding in us, having his word abide in us. It's talking about relationship, isn't it? And being friends. Jesus said, you're my friends. I'm telling you things. You're not a servant because a servant doesn't know what the master is about. But I've shared with you what the Father has shared with me. And so we have this friendship relationship, which I think we all understand that friendships need to be nurtured. They need to be cared for. You need to invest time in friendship in order for it to be fruitful and to nurture one another. And so we look at our relationship with God as a friendship. God is not our servant. And I think whenever we think about friendship, some people we've known who appear to be friends, but it seems like the only time they come to us is when they need something. They need to borrow something, so we get a phone call. Or the classic one is, of course, the son or daughter that goes off to college, and the only time they call mom and dad is when they need money. They call up and say, hey, mom and dad, I need money. I said, wait a minute, don't, you know, tell us how you're doing, you know, don't you want to know how we're doing, you know, and how's the family doing? And no, I just need money. The only time they call is when they need money. You know, that's there's something less than what you would think as fulfilling relationship, that all we do is call upon people when we need something. God is not a genie in a bottle that we just rub the bottle and call him up whenever we need something. We say, okay, Lord, come on, I need you, I need this, I need that, even for loved ones. And then when it's done, it's okay, Lord, you can go back in your bottle. No, that doesn't work. God is not a genie to be called upon at our own beckoning. God has a desire for a friendship with us, which means a continuing relationship. And it means investment in time and devotion. Another thing that Buttrick's right is that prayer begins not in asking, but in a silent self-preparation. Prayer does not begin in asking, but in a silent self-preservation. Don't just come to God and just start rattling off, which is what normal for us to do. We come and say, Lord, by the way, I've got this list. I've got my prayer list. I've got all these people. I'm lifting up so-and-so and so-and-so and help this and help those who are out of work and on and on and on. We've got our lists, right? Prayer lists. And we come to God and say, okay, Lord, please do this. Please do that. Please help this person. Please heal that. We're coming to God. We're just bringing our list. It's kind of like, God, well, wait a minute. Hold on there. Hold on, girl. Let's talk a little bit first, okay? Let's share some things first. How are you doing, you know? God wants to spend some time with us. He doesn't just be there, okay, give me your list. You know, you send that on an email to God if we wanted. He's like, hey, let's talk some, you know? Let's share some things. That's what God wants, that intimacy, that relationship, that friendship. And so when we come for prayer, instead of just coming bolting out our list. According to Buttrick, he goes through the model that Jesus gave in the Lord's Prayer, which is as we come to him first with praise and thanksgiving. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's how we start off prayer, by praising God. Now, I think it's also interesting because you can talk to people about, well, you need to praise God. It's like, well, how many things can I say about God? I mean, yes, there's unlimited ones, but okay, Lord, I praise you, you're great, you're wonderful, King of kings, Lord of lords, and it's like, and easily we slip into, I always found this in my own life, prayers of thanksgiving. I start thanking him. I praise you because you give me blessings. I praise you for, I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I've slipped into thanksgiving. I need to get back to praise. But I find it interesting and not an accident at all that in the Hebrew, the word for to give praise and to give thanks is the same Hebrew word. And that word is yada, yada. So when you hear people go, yada, 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 what they're saying is praise and thanks be to God, yada, yada, yada. So we should remind them whenever you hear that, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, praise and thanks be to God. We praise him for his goodness. We thank him for his many, many blessings. And again, praise is like how many things can we think of, but boy, thanks. How many things can we think to give thanks for? It's unlimited. Thank you for the air that we breathe. Thank you for holding the stars and the planets in their courses, right? If you realize that the courses of the stars and the sun got out of kilter for one bit, we would die. Thank you for the beauty of creation. Thank you for flowers. Thank you for trees. Thank you for relationships. Thank you for love. Thank you for church. It's unlimited, the things we can thank God for. But that's a good way to start with God. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your many, many blessings. Now, according to Buttrick, the next step is confession of our sins. And he writes this, contrition, confession, is not easy. It is surgery. Contrition is not easy because it's surgery. What does he mean by that? He means allowing the Holy Spirit to bring into our mind things that we need to lift up to the Lord. And in many ways, it's part of the chipping away, the dross, chipping away anything that's not like Jesus in our lives, turning that over to the Lord. And sometimes that can be painful, like surgery, but it is for our good, like surgery. So contrition is not easy. It is surgery. One of the most difficult things for some people, too, is we must forgive those who have sinned against us. We cannot come to the Lord in the Spirit and the name of Jesus and be harboring unforgiveness towards any other person, or our prayers will not be heard. The scriptures are very clear upon that. We must forgive those who have sinned against us. And then we confess our sins, both known and unknown, and by grace and the promise and the assurance of God, we receive God's forgiveness. It's no, I wonder if he's going to forgive me. We claim that forgiveness because the penalty for all our sins, past, present, and future, was paid by Jesus on the cross. So we confess our sins with the assurance of knowing that God forgives us. Okay, so having praised God, given thanks to him, confessing our sins, which is really kind of saying, God, are we okay here? If we haven't seen somebody in a while and we got an issue, we knew there was an issue before, we need to come together with them. We say, okay, hey, are we okay? This thing was going on, but, we kind of worked it out, but are we sure we're okay with that? And hopefully the person, yeah, I'm good. We're good. Okay, good. Let's get into the relationship again. Really, that's what we're doing with God. We're holding up saying, God, are we okay here? As the Holy Spirit brings our mind, okay, I lift this up, I lift that up. And just to reaffirm, to renew that covenant, that relationship that we are in. So having gone through praise, thanksgiving, and contrition, confessing sins, making sure we're okay, then we come to the point with renewed relationship that now we can present our petitions and our prayers to God. Now we come before him to prepare our praise and position. And really that's what we do here on Sunday. We sing songs of praise, we lift up praise. We go through prayers of confession, and reconciliation with God, with one another. It's kind of like setting the stage and just kind of saying, are we okay with God? And in the Old Testament, what that was the peace offering that we then bring. Because we come to this point, which to me is beautiful, and we praise God, we worship him, we spend time in his word, we confess our sins, we're in fellowship with one another. And then it's like, okay, right now, I'm like, quick before I start having a bad thought or something like that. Which I'm convinced, you know, growing up in the Catholic Church, they always had the boys on one side and the girls on the other, because they didn't want any bad thoughts before you received communion. From the time of confessing your sins till you received communion, had a hope, oh no, hope, but there's no bad thoughts. And so we come to this point, it's like, okay, I'm right with God right now. And so we come and share the bread and the wine, the peace offering of being in right relationship with God. And it's in that relationship, that friendship, that intimacy, we then say, Lord, I have this list of petitions. I have these people who I know who are in need of healing and help and strength and support. This is a different model of prayer. And again, I want to reiterate, there is no such thing as a bad prayer. There's what many people call arrow prayers. During the day, we just, you know, shoot these prayers up to God. Wonderful, wonderful prayers. When Peter was walking on the water and he started to sink, what was his prayer? Lord, save me. That was it. Lord, save me. What a wonderful prayer. Powerful prayer. But this is another way that the scriptures reveal to us to come before the Lord, reconciling, renewing that relationship, making sure we're in good place, and then presenting our prayers to God. And really, it is abiding in Christ that we have then the mind of Christ. So when we come with our list of prayers, very often that list will change. Our requests will change because God has revealed to us his will. He said, this is what I want to do. And so we go, okay, Lord, I understand that. And so in a way, this is all connected about establishing this right, being at peace with God, being right with him, and then presenting our prayers to him. Jesus has also said that it's not just about prayer, but in John 15:11, he said, these things I have spoken to you, and this was but one of them. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full or complete. So again, it's about relationship, friendship with God, not just running to him or calling him out of the bottle like a genie and saying, okay, here's what I want, this, this, and this, but establishing relationship, investing in that relationship. I love the thing that people say, love is spelled T-I-M-E. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. If we love so much, truly love them, we will spend time with them. If we have a friendship with someone, true friendship, we will spend time with them. We will invest energy into that relationship. That's true with God as well as anyone else. This is the joy we have when we pray to God biblically, and what a joy it is to see prayers that are answered. What a joy it is. We've got these two teenagers we're praying for, and every morning you look for the update, you know, and how are they doing? They're doing a little better. And like, wow, prayers, you know, God's hearing our prayers. That's a joy. That's a joy. And so Jesus tells us this, that we may have joy and have it to the full. We need this kind of prayer. Our loved ones need this kind of prayer. It is important. The world needs this kind of prayer. Now, as I normally do, I go to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, you've given me this teaching. You know, what's the so what part of it? Or what's the catch to it? What's the last thing, Lord, you want me to tell people when we're talking about prayer? And I believe he gave me something which I think, from a human point of view, touches on a part of prayer that makes a big difference, I think, in our prayer life, but also it challenges our faith. Challenges our faith deeply, particularly when we're praying for people that we love very dearly. And what the Lord told me, says, tell the people to remember when we're offering up prayers for people that we love, he loves them more than we do. Well, Lord, oh, please heal this person. They need healing. You know, we tell God everything that they need. He's like, hey, I love them more than you do. Oh, I'm not, how can that be? How can it be that God loves people more than we do? Our kids, our, you know, whatever, spouses? He does. We can't imagine it, but he does. He says, you're lifting up this person, great. Just remember, I love them more than you do. I think that changes our whole attitude on prayer, doesn't it? To be able to lift that up and to trust God, that people we're praying for, he loves them more even than we do. So my brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is upon us. The world is in turmoil. I don't think things are ever going to be exactly the same again. This is a change in culture that I think is going to be lasting. And that goes for church as well, not just our institutions, but church, education, everything is going to change. Sports, everything is going to be different. And we will adapt because God's work is still in progress. But we do need prayer, and we need effective prayer. And so the Bible tells us ways that we can be most effective in our prayer. My hope is that we will acknowledge that and use it. Because truly, the best is yet to come. We need to keep that in mind. Because God really does love us, and he loves those whom we love more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, the power of prayer, for your Holy Spirit who guides us and empowers us for prayer. Help us to be mindful, Lord, of our relationship with you, not just that you're somebody to call upon when we need something, but to take time to invest in that relationship, the friendship that you've offered to us in Jesus. So, Lord, help us to pray as we ought, in spirit and in truth, that you may be glorified and that the name of Jesus would be lifted high. And so this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.